The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. I'm your host, Dominic Salvia. Crudy is taking the day off, so it's me, you, Rich on the board, and you can join us at 844-967-2789. Actually, a lot going on today. I was wondering, you know, Crudy's off. It's always nice to hang out with my college buddy and talk some trash. And he always brings something to the table, but now, man, it's only me and Rich eating, serving you folks up. And I want to get your sense. One of the big things, we did do a show on Friday. Obviously, Kamala Harris gave her speech on Thursday. A couple of highlights I want to highlight, and I want to get your opinion as well, and conservatives as well. Now, we had our conservative love muffin, Gary from Sussex, in the last hour calling us up, and he said, oh, man, all the speeches were good. I asked him specifically a couple of times, what speeches did you like or did you not like? They were all good. And he said, hell, even his wife was starting to drink the Kool-Aid a little bit, so he had to deprogram her, I think, is something that he said. So I think the speech, the DNC, went over well. And if you listen to those speeches, it was hard to argue against at least the spirit of what they were saying and how they were saying it and the uplifting manner in which they said it. So I want to get some sense. Just tell you right off the bat, the black women. Getting stuff done. And there were a lot of good speeches, but certainly Kamala Harris, Oprah, and Michelle Obama just lit it up. So we're going to play a little bit of that in this hour and the next hour as well. Get your sense, 844-967-2789. Before we get to the phones, we do have some breaking news. I want to throw this out there. Apparently, Jack Smith officially appeals the dismissal of classified documents to the 11th Circuit, according to the Raw story. He appealed the decision of Judge Eileen Cannon to dismiss the Mar-a-Lago classified documents case. Of course, Cannon was a Trump-appointed judge and whose rulings have drawn criticism, you think, for consistently benefiting the former president. Well, she cited a concurrence by Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas to rule that Smith was not properly appointed as special counsel because he was not confirmed by a vote of the Senate. But in the appeal, Smith points out that his interpretation of the law has never been used in prior cases and cites decades of law and fact to argue Cannon's interpretation is wrong. Well, come on. You're not going to use precedent and prior activity as any sort of justification for continuing down that line. Are you, Smith? I mean, do you see Dobbs? Anyway, here's a quote from the filing. Precedent and history confirm those authorities, as do the long tradition of special counsel appointments by attorneys general and Congress's endorsement of that practice through appropriations and other legislation. The district court's contrary view conflicts with an otherwise unbroken course of decisions, including by the Supreme Court, that the attorney general has such authority, and it is at odds with widespread and longstanding appointment practices in the Department of Justice and across the government. This court should reverse. Now, Smith's filing appeals to stop just short of asking for the appellate court to throw Cannon off the case altogether, simply stating, quote, the court should reverse the dismissal order and remand for further proceedings. Now, as the Raw story concludes, even a win for Smith at this stage would potentially trigger a further appeal to the Supreme Court, and regardless, the litigation of ongoing issues in the case would push out any possibility trial date far past the November election. And as days go by, folks, I'm getting more and more okay with that. because now we got Kamala Harris as the top of the ticket. And going into a month, over a month ago, going into the DNC, you know, Crude, I was like, Crude and I got to go. We're going to do this. This is what we do. Hit the road. Like, oh, it's going to be a funeral, man. And it wasn't. It was a wedding. 844-967-2789. So, Gojack Smith, Crudy on the line. Welcome to the show, Crudy. What do you got for us?
Well, Dominic, although I did take the day off, I am working hard and sweating buckets out here. It is hot. It is hot. And I got some hot news for you and the audience.
Lay it on me, man.
The tone has been entirely too positive. So I am going to see Trump on Thursday, and you'll be happy to know I've been issued credentials. I'm in the room, Dom.
Wow, finally, Crudy, going to go see Donald Trump in Wisconsin, in La Crosse, on Thursday. What time are we doing it? Are you going to broadcast? Are you going to bring some live? What are we talking about?
Well, here's the interesting part. The devil's advocates will be nearly unaffected, except for yours truly's location, Dom, because Trump is playing at the La Crosse Center, but it's a town hall. I don't see it as being sort of a traditional rally stump speech with plenty of precursor grifters before Trump comes to the stage. My understanding is, and I don't even think this is like a Sean Hannity town hall. I think it's a candidate-run town hall. I'm not sure who's moderating. But Crudy will be in the room, and I'll bring you all those important details, Dom. And I believe Civic Media will be playing the town hall, because when Donald Trump, the Republican nominee, comes to the great state of Wisconsin and he plays in God's country at the La Crosse Center, I think max capacity 7,500, we'll be there on behalf of the Eagle, 1490 AM, soaring high above your radio dial, Dom.
Now, Crudy, didn't Trump do a town hall recently that wasn't really a town hall?
Well, I don't think this is anything but Kabuki theater, my friend. But I want to see, you know, how many people show up, how full up to the rafters is it? Can Trump, you know, string together two or three sentences without going off script? I doubt it. But, you know, I'll be there because you never know what I used to tell you. You never know when someone's going to throw the shoe at George W. Bush. And that's why Crudy's in the room, because that stuff, you don't always see it on the TV coming.
No, man. It's a whole different situation. When you're in the room, you feel the heat, you smell the smell, and you're there to witness it. You know, half the battle, Crudy, showing up.
Showing up, brother. Showing up. I moved one kid to college yesterday, moving myself today, moving another kid on Wednesday, and then yours truly taking this show to Donald Trump at the La Crosse Center, a town hall. We'll be doing the pre-town hall, Dom. I'll do the pre-buttle, if you will, to the Trump town hall.
All right, man. Awesome, man. Anything else to contribute this afternoon, Crudy?
No, just missed you, man. Had a great convention. Really enjoyed a great time. All, you know, here was the greatest part. I got to listen to us on Friday. The talk sounded great. I mean, we're super sexy. So thanks again to all the hard work, the engineers over at Civic Media. And Corey and I have been scrambling to make sure that this fine outfit can go and cover Trump on Thursday. I have every intention of being there.
All right. Awesome. Thanks, Crudy. Thanks for checking in, man. Be safe out there. Stay hydrated. That means water, not Diet Mountain Dews. It's super, super hot out there. Crudy and Vance, man. You know, we were in Chicago for the DNC, and Crudy's just beside himself, man. He could not find for days any Diet Dew, man. He could not find Diet Dews. So our pal over at WCPT, Matt, man, he had the hookup. He brought a couple in the last couple of days. So Crudy was able to at least, you know, get the nourishment he needs from the Diet Dew. Thank you, Matt, also. The crew down at WCPT, they were a lot of fun, great to work with. It was just a great convention. Again, I want to get some of your sense as well. We'll play a little bit of that. But let's hit some of the headlines right now. What I've seen today, what people have been bouncing around is this, the debate over the debate. And what are we talking about? Well, should we have the mics on or should we have the mics off? And we'll get into this. I know we've got a few minutes left in this segment. But honestly, generally speaking, I don't know how this is going. So let's just start out, then we'll comment a little bit. Donald Trump attacks ABC News, suggesting he may pull out of the scheduled presidential debate with Kamala Harris. The Harris campaign is calling the bluff with the one major remaining sticking point, the debate rules. Oh, rules. Devil's in the details. And the devil's advocates are on the radio, 844-967-2789. So here's the backdrop. The Harris campaign wants the microphones for both candidates to stay on during the September 10th debate, but Trump advisors have been refusing, saying they want the same rules as the fateful CNN debate that led Joe Biden to scrap his reelection bid. Now, Trump from Monday morning said he did not care one way or the other about muting the microphones, but insisting the rules should stay the same at the CNN debate. Harris campaign senior advisor for communications, Brian Fallon, picked up on Trump's remarks and called his bluff. And here's what Fallon said. Trump said unmuting the mics doesn't matter to me, quote unquote. Always suspected it was something his staff wanted, not him personally. With this resolved, everything is now set for September 10th. Fallon wrote that on Twitter. Now, Trump had told NBC's Jake Traylor, we agreed to the same rules. I don't know. It doesn't matter to me. I'd rather have it probably on. But the agreement was that it would be the same as it was the last time. In this case, it was muted. In that case, it was muted. I didn't like it last time, but it worked out fine. Ask Biden how it worked out. It was fine. And I think it should be the same. So it doesn't matter to me, but I think it should be the same. Typical Trump bouncing all around. But what is this? This is the Harris campaign sliding in a digger between Trump and his campaign. Because if his campaign doesn't want it to happen because they don't think Trump's adult enough to act presidential for 90 straight minutes without crapping the bed on the mic while Kamala's speaking. And I don't even know. To my personal opinion, whether or not the mics are on or mics are off, I think Kamala Harris will do a great job against Donald Trump. And maybe it might be better for Harris if they were on. You can actually hear the mumbling and the griping and the grievance of the former guy. And she would set his ass straight. But, you know, here's the thing. As she's on the podium next to him, she'll still hear it. You still know when someone 10 feet away from you is mumbling and grumbling. And she could just look over at him and set him straight like a little schoolboy. Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates, 844-967-2789.
The Devil's Advocates. Sausage making never looked so good.
Back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines open for your take. Rich will slightly screen the calls at 844-967-2789. We're talking about the debate of the debate. I'm wondering what's really going on here. Now, as mentioned in the last segment, Trump wants the same exact rules as the CNN debate, but the Harris campaign wants the mics on. Now, last time, the mics were off when the other person was speaking. Now, Harris wants them on. And Harris seems to be sliding in between Trump and what his advisors want. And just get to this a little bit more, and then we'll take your calls again, 844-967-2789. Trump said this, we agreed on the same rules. I don't know. It doesn't matter to me. What doesn't matter? What mics on or off? Doesn't matter to me. I'd rather have it probably on. But the agreement was that it would be the same as it was last time. In that case, it was muted. I didn't like it last time, but it worked out fine as Biden how it worked out. It was fine, and I think it should be the same. So in the same paragraph, he says it doesn't matter. He'd rather have it on, but he thinks it should be the same. So there's three different couple of positions on there. You know, take your pick, interpret it how you will. Now, Trump widely reported to want to pull out of the ABC News debate, especially after his late Sunday night rant, went on to claim it is Harris, the former prosecutor, who is not a good debater and doesn't want to debate. I mean, don't all presidential candidates express their innermost feelings and thoughts on policy and late night Sunday night rants because this guy does. The ex-president now down in the polls. Ooh, raw story. Saying the obvious because he is. Now down in the polls, he declared, they're trying to change it. The truth is they're trying to get out of it because she doesn't want to debate. She's not a good debater. She's not a smart person. She doesn't want to debate. Oh, there we go. Let's do the knock on the intelligence again. I mean, if Trump's consistent about anything, it's in these kinds of ways. Now, Politico Playbook Monday morning reported that behind the scenes, the Trump campaign is refusing to agree to the Harris campaign request for the microphones to stay on at all times. It's clear the Veeps team is hoping to get Trump to lose his cool on the mic, Playbook reported. Harris is, quote, more than happy to have exchanges with him if he tries to interrupt her, a person familiar with the negotiation told Playbook. And given how shook he seems by her, he's very prone to having intemperate outbursts. I think the campaign would want viewers to hear that. Our understanding, now this is the Harris campaign's, Fallon said in a statement. Now the Harris campaign said, our understanding is that Trump's handlers prefer the muted microphone because they don't think their candidate can act presidential for 90 minutes on his own. We suspect Trump's team has not even told their boss about this dispute because it would be too embarrassing to admit they don't think he can handle himself against Vice President Harris without the benefit of a mute button. And I tell you, either way, Harris will be fine. So I wonder if this is just a way to get inside their heads, a way to mess with the campaign. It's like when Russia interferes in our election. It's not, all they're trying to do is sow chaos, right? It doesn't matter who wins or loses. As long as the American people are fighting against each other, that's when our adversaries win. Well, and in that regard, it's a much smaller way. The Harris campaign saying this kind of thing. Hey, Trump, your handlers, they don't think you can do it. Oh, you know, this is going to drive him nuts. 844-967-2789. Mutes on or off. I don't think it matters one way or the other. What do you think? David from San Francisco, you are up. Welcome, David. What do you got for us?
Hey, well, Ian, I was just thinking about the great opportunity that it would be, and whether or not Kamala would want to take part in it is kind of beside the point. There would be any number of different summonses that would be needed to be served on Trump. And in the middle of this debate, that they just kind of open up the floodgates and all of a sudden Trump gets surrounded by people serving him, whether criminals, summonses, or civil suits. And there have got to be thousands of them. I mean, when you imagine all the way back to early COVID, I think it was the city of Tulsa rented him that huge hall, and he had that rally in the late spring of 2020, and he never paid for it. And a whole lot of people, died because of COVID during that that gathering. He was supposed to have put signs on the chairs to tell people to stay 6 feet apart and to space themselves. And his people actively went through the hall after the inspectors left the building. His people went through the hall and took those signs down, and they were packed in there like sardines and, you know, spread COVID like crazy. And not only did those people not get an opportunity to serve him with lawsuits, but the city of Tulsa never got paid for the rental of that hall.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, that's just one example of hundreds of cases that, you know, it would be a great opportunity. And to do that on live TV, I think that'd be great.
David, I love the way you think, man. You're absolutely right. The visual of that would be stunning, certainly. Now, the reality of it, they're never going to get near that stage. You're never going to get past the Secret Service. You know what I'm saying? And although it would be telling, and believe me, David, I mean, this guy's left a wake of unpaid bills and destruction everywhere he goes. And for a real, I'm serious. I'm trying to think as we talk here, I'm thinking about what has Donald Trump gotten involved with in any way, shape, or form that ended up being great, that ended up being successful, ended up helping anybody other than Donald Trump. I mean, I guess he was involved in you know, the show he was on, right? You're fired. I didn't even watch it. So, you know, NBC made some money on it. He made some money on it. The Apprentice, I guess that was probably his most successful endeavor. But, you know, he's basically an actor in that thing. It's reality television. You know what I'm saying? That's not Trump's genius mind coming up with product A, B, or C, or service X, Y, and Z. Hell, look at what happened to this country after he left. Man, this guy put more money on our national debt than any other president in American history. Now, certainly, you know, it was a hell of a time. We had to get some money flowing during COVID. Not necessarily knocking him for bad, but that statistic is true. The guy leaves destruction in his wake in every way, in everything he does, with the exception, perhaps, of The Apprentice, which was really NBC's. Folks, you're listening to The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Some say the greatest radio show ever. A little light today. Crudy's out moving. Hottest day of the year. And the guy's moving, man. Great timing, Crudy. I'm going to come back with your calls, 844-96-PARTY.
The Devil's Advocates, making radio great again.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Some say the greatest radio show ever. You could be a part, Rich, screening the calls at 844-967-2789. A little back and forth debate on the debate. Will the mics be on? Will the mics be off? What's going to happen? The Harris campaign getting some digs in on the Trump organization, the Trump campaign, pardon me. Do the handlers, are they concerned that Trump will, you know, say some terrible things on a hot mic? Is that why they want it off? Is Trump, apparently, he's all over the board. I don't care. Should be like last time. I probably prefer it that way. What do you think? 844-967-2789. Plus, we will get to some highlights of a very historical DNC. I was in the building. It was a great time. We appreciate all of you hanging out with us, but we didn't get to talk on Friday, so today's going to be our lucky day to revisit and hang out. 844-967-2789. Let's get back to the lines. Drew from Lake Mills, you're next. Welcome, Drew. What do you got for us?
Hey, how are you doing today?
Good, sir. How you doing?
Hey, great. Here's what I'm wondering. Is I don't know if Clinton's campaign did this or Biden's campaign did it in 2020, but I feel like Harris's campaign was really smart, and they went out and hired a team of, like, psychologists, right? And they said, what do we have to do? How do we have to talk? What is our message going to be that will make Donald Trump implode on himself? We don't have to really do anything, right? But we just have to put things out there and watch him lose his mind. And
right.
I think that their campaign got really smart and decided, you know, we need some people in here that know how to get in this individual's head and how to make him nuts.
I think you're absolutely right, Drew. And you're gonna lead me to the next topic. And great segue. The TNR reporting, the New Republic. Finally, the Democrats have found Trump's Achilles heel. Ridicule him. We'll get to that after some more phone calls, 844-967-2789. And as this article will say, I think it's hard, man. I mean, Trump is very superficial. And the article specifically, you know, comments on his lack of intelligence, let's just say. He's thin-skinned and he's very superficial. And of course, he's a narcissist. So what that means, at least to me, deep down, behind all the bravado and bluster, is a super, super insecure guy who really knows that if it wasn't for the inheritance that he received, he wouldn't be where he is today. He leaves a string of business failures behind him. He leaves a string of fraud behind him. Trump University. I mean, go down the list, Google it. You don't need me to articulate that on the radio. It would take some time. But he knows. I mean, when you're involved in these kinds of endeavors and you lose money, goes bankrupt. Well, you know they went bankrupt. So you know that in your head, you know what? That was a fail. He knows it was. But in his head, he just overcomes it. Oh, it's always somebody else's fault, right? There's always going to be an excuse for a guy like Donald Trump. So the narcissist in him, I mean, I think in some regard, to Drew's point, yeah, man, we've known narcissists for a long time. Humanity has existed. Narcissists have been here. I think we have a good handle on what they are and what they mean and how you get after them. And ridicule is one of them. And we'll get to that one. Mark from the SAC, you will be next. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Yeah, it's just sad that Donald Trump is still out there tearing this country apart. He's going to keep doing it. I think the Republicans' game plan is to challenge every election before the courts, ignoring, of course, my old standard, the 14th Amendment, which says it's supposed to be we the people that do the electing. And the Republicans seem to think they can't win by winning an actual election. So they'll turn to the courts, and with who knows what the Supreme Court would actually do. I don't think the reaction, if the Supreme Court did something as treacherous as they did in 2000, that the people would stand for it this time. That I think that it's just sad. And January 6th is going to happen again for Donald Trump. I mean that. Hopefully the Congress will be taken over by the Democrats and on both houses, and we'll be able to nip that in the bud. But that I'm cautiously optimistic that Kamala Harris will clean Trump's clock, but we never know with that man. We never know with the people that support Donald Trump what they'll do.
Well, I mean, we kind of already do know what they'll do, Mark, and thanks for the call, man. I mean, they did it already, right? January 6th happened. Donald Trump wants to pardon all those people. The Law and Order Party, the hypocrisy, it's like it doesn't even matter anymore. And I really appreciate the fact that the DNC, they're reclaiming the American flag, the camouflage. Righties are going nuts. Oh, that's ours. No, man, the American flag is not yours. Camouflage is not yours. The ways that the Republicans have usurped these symbols to identify themselves is being challenged. And that also drives them a little batty. Thanks for the call, Mark, 844-967-2789. Again, the New Republic. Finally, the Democrats have found Trump's Achilles heel. Ridicule him. Yes! Kamala Harris gets it. Yes, we should fear Trump, but we should also mock him mercilessly because it drives him nuts. I'm going to get into this just a little bit. Donald Trump is in a free-for-all. The description from Sunday's Washington Post of how GOP nominee spent last week, quote, aides did not want a situation where he was watching the convention every night, getting angry, then just golfing all day and stewing, according to people who spoke on the condition of anonymity to discuss private interactions. Trump also had grown annoyed with the news coverage that depicted him as not working as hard as his opponent, one person who talked to him said. Now, if you don't know that the article was about Trump and you read the cold without knowledge of the context, you might think it was a description of parents trying to figure out how to handle an ungovernable four-year-old. So they convinced Trump to get out of Bedminster, hit the road, trading suck-ups with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Now, side note, RFK Jr. has endorsed Donald Trump. In the past, though, Trump called Kennedy the dumbest member of the Kennedy family and a radical left lunatic. Of course he did. Now, Kennedy, in turn, called Trump a terrible human being and probably a sociopath. Sometimes it can be true. Will RFK's endorsement get Trump a few votes? Question mark. It might. But these two unprincipled freakos deserve each other. And if it ever looks like RFK might matter, all Kamala Harris and Tim Walz have to do is say something like that. Now, Harris's campaign so far has been a work of genius on several levels, but maybe the most ingenious stroke of all has been the decision to mock Trump, to present him not only as someone to fear, but also to ridicule. Harris perfectly encapsulated this two-pronged attack in these memorable lines from her acceptance speech. And here's what she said, quote, "In many ways, Donald Trump is an unserious man, but the consequences of putting Donald Trump back in the White House are extremely serious. Just imagine Donald Trump with no guardrails." Now, she mentioned the Supreme Court's decision that, immunity, yada, yada. TNR goes on to say, "But the emphasis has been on ridicule," in parentheticals, Tim Walz's weird comment, Maryland Governor Wes Moore's jab at Trump's bone spurs, Barack Obama's hilarious hands gesture when he was talking about Trump's obsession with crowd size. Couple examples. It's great on three levels. The first is that it must drive Trump nuts. And when he goes nuts, he says especially nutty things. Yes, he does. Second, it's arguably more persuasive to swing voters than calling him a fascist. Trump is a fascist, make no mistake, but he's also ridiculous. Mocking him over his Hannibal Lecter obsession will stick in apolitical people's minds far more strongly than warning about his plans to wreck the Justice Department. And in its way, it's just as disqualifying. We really want a president who thinks of an eater of human flesh, however fictional, was misunderstood. You know what I'm saying? The late, great Dr. Hannibal Lecter. I mean, what the hell, Trump, are you talking about? And what are you mega supporting? What do you think? When Donald Trump references the late, great Hannibal Lecter, apparently somehow misunderstood, you know, all I hear is, I wonder what you think. TNR goes on. The third, and most of all, sustained ridicule has the potential to reinforce the downward spiral Trump is now in. He probably likes it when we call him a fascist or authoritarian because it expresses fear of him, and he aches to be feared. It acknowledges his power. This motivates him and makes him stronger. Ridicule makes him weaker. Ridicule makes him small. Ridicule makes him desperate. He'll try to respond with ridicule of his own, but he is not a clever man. He's a stupid man. He has no wit. He has no sense of mischief. He doesn't read. He doesn't think beyond the first reactions. These nicknames of his, which the press has made such a big deal of over the years, they're nothing. They're D contest put into words. Little Marco, Sleepy Joe. There's nothing remotely clever about any of them. And now he reportedly thinks he's coming up with a great one in Commulus Kamala. Well, it's all alliterative. I'll give him that. But I doubt very much it'll play beyond the base. First of all, people under 40 barely know what a communist was. And even for older people who do know, is communism the specter it once was? And besides all that, it's not remotely true. She's a mainstream liberal. The righties went nuts over the price gouging business, but of course they exaggerated it and lied about it. The plan, while not terribly detailed, says nothing about imposing a huge new federal bureaucracy to set prices. It would more likely empower the government to go after selected firms during emergencies, like laws that are already on the books in 34 states. Pretty confident she can handle that in a debate. And by the way, rebutting charges of communism is one of many spots where freedom and patriotism and all that convention flag waving should come in handy. These are clubs Republicans have swung at Democrats for decades, and Democrats have rarely been smart enough to figure out a way to snatch those clubs from Republicans' hands until now. People have said, and even I have written, that Trump is bound to regain his footing at some point. I guess so. But what if he doesn't? What if this new dynamic is just the dynamic? Against Joe Biden, Trump looked credible to swing voters simply because of Biden's age. Against Harris, he looks old because he is. Confused because he is. Far less intelligent than she because he is. And less genuinely patriotic because he is. And the best way to ensure that he stays off his game, question mark? Mockery, bone spurs, orange tanning spray, Hannibal the Cannibal, sharks versus electrocution, the whole nine yards. Democrats have finally found Trump's true Achilles heel, and they need to keep poking at it hard. Uncle Tomasky reporting over at an opinion piece at the New Republic. You know, and I think that's spot on. You mock the bullies. You fight back. Trump doesn't have the capabilities beyond the superficial name calling. He's not witty. He's not curious. He's a simple man, and he's a narcissist. And when you make fun of people like that, when you call them, when you ridicule them, you make them small. You point out their deficiencies using his own words, like, I don't know, the late great Hannibal Lecter. You know, I really don't know why that even comes up. Does he really think asylum from immigration is the same as an insane asylum? You know, what are you talking about? Why would you even mention? I mean, that guy, a terrible human being, Hannibal Lecter, like broke out of jail, cut off a guy's face, put it on his face, got stuck out and killed people. He ate people. What are you talking about, Hannibal Lecter, in a political rally? What has that got to do with anything? Trump? And does anybody ask those questions? Do you conservatives, do you wonder, what the hell is he talking about? or you just let it go. Because I guarantee you, if it was Joe Biden talking about Hannibal Lecter or Jason or Freddie, you know, you know what I'm saying? Michael Myers. Oh, the late, great Michael Myers. Let's talk about the thing. Oh, man, he was really good with that knife, Michael Myers. I mean, he just kept going. They could never get him down. I mean, he was a tough human being. Strong. People feared him. The late, great Michael Myers. Oh, we are the Devil's Advocates, man. What is going on? Yes, mocking, ridicule, belittling. They are small. It's justified because of the things he says. And the Republicans, you have to defend it. And I'm wondering, do you think it's small? Do you think it's ridiculous? Do you think it's mockworthy? Or do you think talking about Hannibal Lecter is serious political discourse in any way, shape, or form related to any sort of policy? Or is this just a crazy old man on stage doesn't know the difference between an insane asylum and immigration asylum? 844-967-2789.
I ate his liver with some fava beans and a nice Chianti.
Charged, never convicted. The Devil's Advocates.
When the boss comes calling, they'll put us down. Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, Quid Pro Quo. We do some good shows and you give us some good calls. 844-967-2789. Let's get to it, Don from the MKE. Welcome, Don. What do you got for us? Hello, Don.
Oh,
there we go. Hey, Don, welcome. Welcome.
Okay. Sorry about that, Dominic.
Right.
I have to agree with you. The guy is nuts. Grab him. That's a bad joke. My question is this. You know, when he was hijacking all these top secret documents, now it's government property, you know, when you're leaving the White House, now, didn't someone, you know, that takes a while to put all that stuff. Didn't somebody like the Secret Service or somebody get suspicious and find out what is going on there? And my next question would be, now he signed a document saying that he had returned all the secret, top secret documents.
Right,
and now
right.
It turns out that he kept some of them anyway. Now, does he still have them yet? Because, hey, anybody knows this guy is a wheeler dealer. He's going to sell it to the highest biller. The highest bidder, excuse me, either to China or Russia, or possibly North Korea, or possibly Iran. So this guy is a traitor to our country. I do not want him as my president. He is a security risk. And thank you for letting me express my opinion.
I appreciate that, Don. Thank you for calling. You know, that, of course, is the big question. Yeah, certainly. And there were pictures of, you know, his staff, I believe, you know, loading up these documents. Apparently he traveled with some of them as well. And we do know Donald Trump would sell his mother for a dollar if he could, you know, he put those things together. What do you think the chances are that some of those documents weren't scanned or put on, you know, a flash drive or something along those lines? You know what I'm saying? I'm not clear. And we have no evidence of this. And, you know, that would be, you know, the greatest scandal in American history, the former president was somehow caught wheeling and dealing and, you know, profiting off of the sale of you know, U.S. secret documents. Yeah, that would absolutely be treasonous without question. So, but we don't know that, right? We don't know what he did or what's going to happen. Now, we do know, as was reported today, Jack Smith has appealed Cannon's ruling that somehow Jack Smith, even though he's been special counsel for decades and a history of performance and getting appropriated and getting other legislation and using the special counsel somehow, some way, because Judge Clarence Thomas, whose wife was specifically involved in the January 6th, she was out there emailing people about trying to overturn the election, right? She was part of it. She was right there. And Clarence Thomas didn't recuse himself in any J6 cases. No, 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 no. So he's the guy the canon's going to use as a justification for who to say, you know what, after all these years of special counsels, you're not legit. So finally, Smith gets around to appealing that, and we will see. I hope in my heart, really, really, that Trump didn't do those things, that he was just, you know, hanging on because he, for whatever reason, he's a hoarder. I mean, what do you call a billionaire? I mean, they're hoarders, right? Maybe that was it. But I cannot shake the feeling that if I were a narcissist billionaire who acted like Donald Trump, that if I was all about the money, it was all about me, that those things would not be leveraged in some way, somehow, to the benefit of Donald Trump and to the detriment of the country. So this case will hopefully continue. We'll see what comes out of the appeal and then out of another appeal and so on and so forth. And, you know, as we know, I mean, none of these things are going to come to any sort of fruition before the election. Perhaps some of the J6 evidentiary hearings in the Chutkan case will have some mini trials, like, here's the evidence. Should this be admitted? Is this an official act? Is this not official act? Some of those things, if that comes out, maybe we'll get a better sense and maybe some people will understand, you know, some of the things that Donald Trump has done. But there's so many different cases, so many different ways to look. It's for a guy with a character and values lacking of Donald Trump, it'd be really hard for me to imagine that those things didn't happen. But thanks for the call. We appreciate it. 844-967-2789. Beth from Valpo, you are up. Welcome, Beth. What do you got for us?
Hi, Dom. Good to talk to you again.
Likewise.
I just wanted to say, first of all, that last week I opted to listen in on you guys' stream of the convention as opposed to watching the live stream from C-SPAN or something. And you guys did a great job.
Thank you, Beth. Appreciate that.
You guys kept it moving. It was just really, really well done. And I'm so glad that the three, you know, different stations that combined on that, including Civic Media, helped us to do that. That was really, really nice. So, yeah, I look forward to it every night with my popcorn. And you guys are funny. And you guys always are entertaining. I love it. But anyway, now that I've kissed your butt enough, I was going
to say,
as an idea for humiliating Trump, one thing I think it's going to come down to as things get more intense in the next month or two in the campaign is that these billionaire club are really going to put the screws down. You know, they want to become a new Middle Ages and become our kings and queens, including Elon Musk. So I think that one way to draw attention to that issue plus humiliate Trump is to do some kind of a thing. You know, imagine a cartoon ad where, you know, Trump's photo, his face is put on top of a cartoon of a little French maid's outfit, and he's serving drinks and canapes to Elon Musk and, you know, the oil industry and a couple of billionaires. And they're pinching his butt and saying, hey, come here, baby, I need a little more, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like, make it so that he's, like, completely emasculated with them.
Yes.
And plus, you draw attention to the fact that they are kingmaker ass, you know, jerks. I almost said a bad word. Okay.
No. Beth, great idea. I love the visual. Yeah, Trump in his skirt serving up the billionaires and taking the heat. I mean, because that's what he said he'll do. I mean, he is for sale. Just ask the oil industry. 844-967-2789. The Happy Hour coming up next.